The Torah portion, Ekev, contains a verse which virtually everyone knows. Unfortunately, however, people usually know only half of it. The Torah states, man does not live by bread alone. However, this statement, which in itself would seem to be a good excuse for gluttony, has a second half to it. The verse concludes, it is not that man lives by bread alone, but by that which comes from God's mouth that man lives. What is the meaning of this phrase, that man lives from what comes from God's mouth? After all, we know one of the primary principles of Jewish faith is that God has no body and no physical features. The commentaries explain this in various ways. Some say, for example, that this which comes from God's mouth means the commandments which he gave us, and therefore the verse says that we do not live by bread alone, but it is through the mitzvahs that we have our true life, through fulfillment of God's commands. Chassidic philosophy explains the inner hidden dimension behind the statement of the Torah. Why is the phrase the mouth of God used? It is used in the same way as many places in the Torah speak of the Dvar Hashem, the word of God, being the force of creation. As our sages say that the world was created with 10 utterances, as we see at the beginning of the book of Genesis, that God spoke and said this should be created. And these statements, quote-unquote, of God, meaning these forces of creation, are constantly creating these objects. As we explained in last week's Parsha Veschanon, that the creative act of God is not a one-time process, but it is something which is continuously happening every moment, and there is a spark of godliness in every object in the world. As we described in the name of the Arizal, that even stones have within them a type of soul, meaning the spark of godliness which keeps them constantly in existence. It is this word of God, the spark of godliness within every object, or as the verse states here, this which comes from God's mouth, that we are really living off. The difference between a person that is alive and a person that is not merely the absence of certain bodily functions. The difference is the presence or absence of a soul, the presence or absence of this spiritual entity. And so, too, the cause of life, the source of life, is not bread alone. It is not only the physical. It is rather the spark of godliness which is within that food. This is then the meaning of the verse. Man does not live by bread alone. It is not only the physical wheat which is within the bread which is giving the person his life, but this which comes from God's mouth, the spark of godliness which is keeping this bread in existence, this is the source of the person's life. With this explanation under our belt, we can understand another puzzling aspect of our continued existence as a result of our eating. Why is it a person who is a superior level of the creation, superior to animal life and to plant life and certainly inorganic life, must nevertheless come unto them for his existence? True, we could perhaps now explain that when a man eats wheat in order to keep alive, it is not the wheat itself which is keeping him in existence. It is the spark of godliness within the wheat. However, this still seems to be insufficient, because just as the wheat has within it a spark of godliness, so too the person has within a spark of godliness. So why is it that the person with a spark of godliness within, and presumably a superior form of godliness, should need the wheat and the spark of godliness within a seemingly lower form of godliness in order to keep in existence? This can be explained by usage of a mystical concept, roughly translated as the higher the source, the lower it falls. As the example is brought of a wall, a brick wall, which when it falls down, it is the bricks on the top of the wall that fall the farthest distance away from the wall. The higher the source is, when it descends, the lower it will fall, the farther away from the source it will go. The godliness within a person and the godliness within the wheat, for example, both have their source in supernal spiritual worlds. Which has a higher source? Down here in the world, the person is higher than the wheat, and therefore we can tell that it has a lower source. this which falls lower down here really has a higher source in the spiritual world. Therefore, the wheat which falls down here in a very low state, lower than animal life and certainly lower than human life, has a much higher source in the supernal world. The human who did not come down so low in this world does not have a source which is as high. And this is how a person can live by eating wheat or other objects from the animal kingdom or the plant kingdom. That when the person eats, he is not just having the spark of godliness as it is down here. He reaps the benefits also from this godliness as it is in its source. And its source is higher than the source of him himself. And that is why the wheat does not need the person for its existence, because the source of its godliness is higher. The person, however, needs the wheat or similar objects for his existence, since the source of the wheat is a higher one than his. And this is contained also in the verse, this which comes out of God's mouth, in Hebrew called Meitza Pi Hashem. The word Meitza could mean to come out, and the word Meitza also means a source. And therefore, the verse could be translated or explained that man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by the godly source of that bread, which is superior even to the person's godly source.